And so the boy, he told his father he's going for a walk in the forest, in the woods. But instead of going in the woods, he went in the woods because he didn't want to tell a lie, but he kept going down the road until he got to the town. And he went to the Jewish neighborhood. And he started to go in the Jewish streets, and he saw Jewish kids with yarmulkes, and he saw people, Jewish people with beards and women covering their hair, and he looks to see them shopping and going to their stores. He didn't see anything wrong. And he goes over and starts to speak to them. He goes over to a boy like his age. Why do you wear that thing on your head? What's that called, a harmonica? No, it's a yarmulke. What do you want to know for? Oh, I just want to know. Well, it reminds us that Hashem is above us. The boy says, Hashem? You know, Hashem, he made the world. You know, the world came from somewhere and he takes care of it. And why do you wear those strings coming out of your pants? All these Jews wear strings coming out of their pants. What for? Oh, that's tzitzis. It reminds us of the mitzvahs. You know, Hashem has a lot of things we do and we don't do. So we remind ourselves, it's like a uniform, that we're in Hashem's army and we wear tzitzis. And what's those funny letters on the stores? Is that Chinese? No, that's Hebrew. We have Lashon HaKodesh. And some of them are Yiddish. We have different letters. Yeah, what's the letters? Is that ABC there? No, of course not. It's olive base. What's olive base? It's a letter. That's an olive and that's a base. Oh, so how come you're going backwards? You're reading backwards. No, you read backwards. We go from this way, the right way to the left side. And you go from the left side to the right side. You're backwards, not us. And the boy found this is very interesting. Where are those men going now? They're walking very fast. It's mincha time. Mincha time? What means mincha time? They're going to go daven in shul. What's davening? What's a shul? But look, why don't you go to the window and you watch what they're going to do? We daven, you know, you take a sitter and daven. What's a sitter? Oh, you don't know anything. No, I'm not Jewish. I want to find out, you know. Okay, you go to the window. And the boy goes to the window and he watches them daven. First of all, he watches them. They put little coins in cans. They walk over to a can and put in pennies. He didn't know what's that. What is that? Stucker. And then they take a book and they open it up and they say, Ashrei. And then they say, Shmon Esrei. And they say, Kedusha, Kadesh, Kadesh, Kadesh. And they're jumping up and down. And he watches them. And they start clapping on the chest after that. And they, you know, all of the things we do in davening. But this boy found it very interesting. And later on he asked more questions. Who are they davening to? And who is Hashem? And what are they saying? And the boy explained to him, look, you know, everybody has to believe in Hashem. And even people that are not Jews have to believe in Hashem and not daven to Getchkas, and he explained. And now it was getting late. The boy remembered that his father was going to be worried about him, and he ran home. And he got home, and he just says he was in the woods. But he felt much better. And that night, he fell asleep for the first time in a few days, and he felt very good. He didn't know why he felt so good, but he felt there's something very special about the Jewish people. And he began to become interested about the Jewish people and what they're saying and what they're doing. And the next day, he told his father that he feels a little bit better and he wants to go the whole day in the woods. And he went into the woods, but he went out of the woods to the Jewish neighborhood. And he found the same boy, like he had found yesterday, and he says, hey, teach me the aleph and the base. I want to learn it. And then the boy says, you're not Jewish. Why should I teach you that? Don't you have anything else to do? No, my daddy's very rich, and I really don't have to do anything if I don't want to. So I want to just know about an aleph and a base. okay, look, this is an aleph and this is a base. Yeah, but what's that? Well, that's a gimel. Well, why you didn't tell me it's a gimel? Well, because you only ask about aleph base. Okay, aleph base gimel. Okay, you better go home. Yeah, but after the gimel is something else. I also want to know what that is. That's a dalet. Okay, aleph base gimel dalet. Finished? No, but there's a bunch of more things. Let's go. Okay, this is a hey, this is a kamatz, this is a chirik. And the boy started to become very interested. And then the other boy says, I have to go now to yeshiva. What's yeshiva? Well, that's where I learned Torah. What's the Torah? Okay, listen, you know, you're so interested, stay outside the window and listen to the class. And the boy stood outside the window and listened the whole day. He hears about Gemara and about Mishnayis and about Chumash and all kinds of things and a lot of things he didn't understand, but he felt very good listening to names, Rabbi Akiba and Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu. And at the end of the day, the boy went home also very, very happy. He didn't even know why. Just listening to the names, the Rambam, it made him happy. Here's the Rambam. He doesn't know who's the Rambam. He gets happy. And that night he fell asleep and he had nice dreams. And the next day he went back, and the next day, every day he went back, and he started learning more and more. Finally he says to his friend, you know, I think I would like to become a Jew. What? You want to become a Jew? Are you kidding? Didn't you tell me what your father's going to do to you if you would even consider becoming a Jew? Forget it. You're rich, you have a big castle, you're the son of the duke. Go home, that's it. No, no, I don't like the castle, and I don't like all the people and the people I have to play with. And I like the Jews much better. They behave better. They do better things. They're not wild and do all the kind of things that the other boys I have to play with do. I like the Jewish boys much better. You know, I'm interested to become a Jew. And I would like to learn more Torah. I'd like to go to yeshiva too. And this friend, the Jewish boy, said, you better go to the Rav. And you better speak to the Rav. And he took him to the house of the Rav. And the Rav tried to push the boy away and say that it's not good to become a Jew. There's so many mitzvahs. See, if a goy says he wants to become a Jew, you try to push him away, not with your hands, but with arguments like it's too hard, you have to wake up early and daven and put on tefillin. You try that he shouldn't become a Jew. You don't want to make a person to be a Jew. Unless he's really emes. If he really, really wants, then you're going to see that he doesn't care. You try to push him away. He wants to become a Jew anyway. Only for Hashem. You're only allowed to become a Yid because you want Hashem, Torah and mitzvahs for Hashem, and that's it. Not for any other thing. And they try to argue with the boy. There's so many things to do, so many mitzvahs. He says, the boy says, I like the mitzvahs. Yeah, but you'll have to make a bris milah. He says, I'll make a bris milah. And you'll have to go to the mikvah. I'll go to the mikvah. Well, you're only allowed to eat kosher food. You wouldn't be able to eat in the castle, in your kitchen. Okay, so I won't eat the treifas achen in the castle. Yeah, and you have to keep Shabbos. He says, yeah, okay, good, Shabbos. I like Shabbos. Yeah, and then you have to wear tzitzis even if it's hot. He says, I'll wear tzitzis even if it's hot. You have to keep your yarmulke on your head all the time. I'll keep my yarmulke on the head all the time. And the more they tried to argue with him, the more he wanted to become a Jew. And finally, the Rav said, okay, I see that you keep coming back every day, so we're going to talk about now what you should do from here, because you can't tell your father. If you tell your father, you have a lot of trouble. We have to think of a way that you can keep your father happy and also become a Jew. And the Rav and the boy came up with a plan. And this is what they did. Listen carefully. The boy went home. And the next day he said, Daddy, you know that I've been very sad over losing the girl in the fire. And I felt very, very upset. the best thing I think is that I should go away to school. I'll learn in a school far away, a very good school, and over there, because I'm so busy doing the work in the school, and I'm far away, so I'll forget all about it. I'll be very busy day and night doing homework and going to classes and having to work very hard and think. Plus, I'll be far away. And you know what? I won't even come home for a long time, even for a few years. And that way, I'll forget all about it. And at the same time, I'll go to school. And the Duke said to his son, I think that's a very good idea. Well, you just remember, though, that when you find a place to live very far away by the school, you write me your address so I can send you letters, and you send me letters. Okay, Daddy, I'm going to get ready and pack my suitcases, and I'm going to leave as soon as possible. And the boy packed up his suitcases, and he told his father that he's going to go all the way to Italy. Italy is a country far, far away from Prague, and he's going to go to a very good school far, far away in Italy. And he got to that school, Kinnelach, and he got a room in the school, and he wrote down the address, and he sent his father a letter, but he never went to that school. He only got a room there in order that he should have letters coming to that address and sending his daddy home letters from that address. But the Rav told him that he should go to a yeshiva in Italy. There was a very good yeshiva there. And also before he left to the school, a very important thing, he stayed with the Rav, and the Rav taught him all the things that he has to know. And he tested him to see if he was really emistic. And the Duke's son became a real yid. He had a bris milah, and he went to the mikvah, and he took upon himself Torah mitzvahs for Hashem because he wanted to become a yid. And all he wanted to do was go learn in yeshiva and be a good Jew. And he went to Italy, and he learned in the yeshiva in Italy, and he got the name Avraham. And nobody except the Rav, the Rosh Yeshiva of the yeshiva, knew that he was a ger, somebody who became a yid. He was such a good bacher. He was so smart and such a hard-working bacher, and davening nice, and doing mitzvahs, and Am Yisrael. And everybody thought that he was a yid. And he had a beard, and he wore a hat, and he wore tzitzis, and he wore everything. And only the Rosh Yeshiva knew that he was a yid. And he learned there for a few years until he became one of the best bachrim in the whole yeshiva. And after he became in the highest class, he already got older now. He was in his 20s. And his Rosh Yeshiva called him one day and he says, Avram, they named him Avram, you have gone to be in the best class in this yeshiva, and I think it's time for you to move on to even a better yeshiva. I'm going to send you to the best yeshiva anywhere, and you're going to learn there for a year, and at the end of that year, it's time for you to become a chosen, that you should find a shidduch. And I'm going to write a letter to the Rosh Yeshiva in the new yeshiva that I'm sending you to, and I'll tell him all about you, and I'll tell him to take special care of you and to help you to get a shidduch at the end of the year. And Avram packed up his bags, and the next day he was on the way to Amsterdam, Holland. Amsterdam, a far, far away city, which we actually heard about before in this story. And Avram went to Amsterdam, and he learned in yeshiva, and he became such a good bacher that everybody loved him so much and respected him, and he was such a fine ben teda, learning teda and doing mitzvahs, behidr and yirashamayim, and doing mitzvahs, helping other people. And at the end of the year, the Rav called him and said, I mean, the Rosh Hashiva, he says, I know a very fine family, and I'm going to be davening the shul tonight with the father of the family. And in this family, there is a girl living there that is a niece, and her uncle, the father of the family, is her uncle, and she's from far away. I think this is going to be a very nice shidduch for you. And he went over to the shul, and over there in the shul that night was Reb Michal Berger from the wine store. And Reb Michal Berger from the wine store was davening Ma'ariv. And after Ma'ariv, he went to a shir in the shul. And after the shir, the Rosh Hashiva came over to him and he said, Reb Michal, isn't your niece living with you still from Prague? Yes, she is. A very fine girl. Well, the Rosh Hashiva says, I have a very fine shidduch, if you're interested, for her. One of the best and finest boys in the whole yeshiva. And Reb Michal Berger says, you know, I was just thinking to myself, it's about time that Reisel gets married. Well, this bacher, his name is Avram, a fine, fine bacher. How about we should arrange that Reisel and Avram should meet together? Okay, how about Moitzi Shabbos? Avram can come to our house from Malava Malka and meet the girl. Okay. And so can Allah. That Moitzi Shabbos, Avraham came to the house of Michal Berger and he meets the girl, Reisel. Now can Allah, at first when he heard the name Reisel, something kind of buzzed in his head, but you know, he didn't remember anything after all these years. And after, of course, he thought that she had died in the fire and she was just bones, burned up bones. He forgot really all about her. But the name Reisel kind of did something. Reisel? Where did I hear that before? Well, she even looked a bit familiar, like he'd seen her before somewhere, but he didn't remember where, or it was just maybe she looked like somebody else. And Avram was a regular yid and with a beard and with everything. And Reisel did not recognize who he was. He had changed so much. And they talked Moitzi Shabbos. And they went out a few times afterwards. And they decided, yes, they like each other. And they would like to get married. And in that time was the minhag that the boy, the chassan, should buy the kala a special ring, even before they go to the chuppah, a special ring to give her, and this is going to be the sign that they're going to get married, even before they actually go to the chuppah, then they had another ring. And so Avram came over to the house, and he says to Reisel, I want to give you this ring as a sign that we're really going to get married. And Reisel said, oh, that's wonderful. I just have to take off my old ring that I have on my finger, an old ring from many years ago, and I'll put on your ring. And Avram looked down on her finger, and all of a sudden he sees a ring with a diamond and letters on it. And he sees letters and the diamond and the ring, and all of a sudden he remembered many years ago that he had such a ring with such a diamond and exactly those letters of his Goyisha name. And all of a sudden he looks at Reisel and he sees that this is exactly the Reisel that he gave the ring to when he was a Goy, and that he thought she got burned up in her bed and it was only burned up bones, and now she's exactly alive right in front of him. This is the same Reisel he wanted to marry as a Goy, but didn't. And when he figured that out, and he realized that this is exactly the same girl, he fainted on the floor. He passed out, and he fell down on the floor. And Reisel ran out of the room, screaming, Avram fainted! Avram fainted! And they came, and they brought a bucket of water and they threw it on his head. And he woke up and he says, everybody has to go out. I have something to tell Razel. I don't want anybody in here. Well, I'm telling her. And everyone goes out. Of course, they have to leave the door open a little bit because before they're married, a boy and a girl cannot be in the same room unless the door is open at least a little bit. It's called Yichud. But everybody's waiting in the other room. All of a sudden, Avram says to Razel, you're not going to believe this, but I have something very important to tell you. Razel says, what? What's going on? He says, I know something about you that you don't think that I know. And I've got to tell you before you accept to get married to me. Do you remember many years ago, you wanted to get married before? Razel thinks to herself, how does he know anything? And he says, you went to a castle that was owned by a duke. And this is a long time ago, before you came to Amsterdam. And you wanted to marry a boy that probably you're very lucky that you did not marry, because he wasn't even a Yid. And Razel says, how do you know such a thing? How do you know anything? This is a complete secret. And Avram smiles and he says, because I know who that boy was. She says, how do you know who that boy was? He says, it was me. She says, what? It was you? He says, I gave you that ring. And he told her all about that he was the son of the duke. And he told her that he became a Yid. And she was so surprised, she fell down and fainted. And they came in. And they brought a bucket of water and threw it on her head. And now they were both wet, but they were both very happy, and they were seeing the big Hashkacha Pratis. How when it was treif, when it was not the kosher chasana, they didn't get married, and they were so thankful that everything had happened. And now Hashem had made it such a way that they could become in a kosher way, in a right way, in a way that Hashem will agree with it, and not chas shalom in a way that was not a good way, that it was against Hashem. And kenalach, they went on to have a beautiful chasana, a big chasana, and to that chasana came Reb Michelberger and Reb Chaimberger and all their families, and the Maharal came to the chasana, and the Goylem came to the chasana. And the Rosh Yeshivas came to the chasana, and all their friends. And during the dancing and the meal, when everybody was so freilich, all of a sudden, they got a special delivery letter from the Duke's castle. And all of this time, Avram was writing his father from the room in Italy. He had somebody living in Italy. He would send a letter, and they would put the letter in a different envelope and send it out of that room with the address from Italy. And it would go through the post office in Italy. And the father thought that all of these years he was in school in Italy, he didn't know that he was in yeshiva, and he had moved to Amsterdam. And now all of a sudden, by the chasana, they got a special delivery letter from the Duke's castle. And Avram says, my father never knew what happened to me, that I even became a Yid. And he doesn't know that I'm getting married. I wonder what's happening now. And he's opened the letter, and it said, dear son of the Duke, we're very sorry to tell you, but your father was very old, and he died. But before he died, he brought the judges and the lawyers, and he told them what he wants to do with all of his money and his castle when he dies, after he dies. And he said that his castle and all of his money should go to his son. That his son should have his castle and all of his money. And so after the chasana and after the sheva brachas, the chasana and the kala, they moved into the big castle. They turned into a gigantic big place for Yidden, a yeshiva, and the kids played in the big yard. And the money they gave for tzedakah, and they made a shul over there. And they made a big park for all the kinalach, the Yiddish kinalach, and they made over there a beautiful place to have chasanas, and they made a big place for shirim, and for women shirim, and they made over there a mikvah, and they made over there on the land a big farm for Chol of Yisrael, and they raised animals, and they had a zoo over there for the kids to go look at, and they made over there such a beautiful place for Yidden, and they gave jobs to so many Yidden to work on the land, to take care of the lakes and the forests and the fish and the birds and the factories. And the story, Kindalak, is still not over. It's just beginning. It's a very long story. This part is over, and it's so happy, this story. But there's another thing that we have to find out in this story, which we'll hear another time. Well, you'll see. A good story. And this is what happened. Listen closely. It was getting near to a big Goyish holiday, and Tadus told his servant, "You and your family, your wife and your kids, go out in the church, go out in the yard, and clean up all the leaves, and make sure the plants are nice, and make sure everything is clean, because it's coming up our big holiday. And make sure that the whole yard looks very, very nice. Sweep and rake the leaves, and make sure you do a good job, and use all of your children. Make sure you have your boys and girls go out and help you." And the servant goes home, and his family goes out to do what Tadus asked. And each child had a part of the yard to take care of. And Tadus was looking out the window from the top of the church. And Tadus is thinking to himself, "I want to get back that servant for what he did with Razel. I'll never forget that. I told him to watch over that girl, to keep her safe, that nothing should happen, because I felt that that rabbi, that Maharal of Prague, is going to play some kind of a trick, because he's not going to be able to stand it that a Jewish girl is locked up in my church." And sure enough, when I went to Krakow to the big meeting of the important Galachim over there, I came back and I found there was a fire. And in Razel's bed was burned up bones that everybody thinks was Razel. Well, I know different. I don't think that was Razel at all. I think that my servant was lazy and she got out somehow, and it's his fault, and I want to get him back for it. I want to make him feel sorry for what he did. And now is my chance to take revenge, to get him back. And Tadus is looking out the window, and he sees how each child has a part of the yard. And then he sees the six-year-old boy is walking over to the corner of the yard behind the big bushes. "Ooh," Tadus says to himself, "this is my good chance, this is my big chance, this is perfect." And Tadus runs down the stairs very, very quickly. And over there, by the side of the church, was a door. Just by the area that the six-year-old boy was working, on the other side of the big bushes. And because he was on the other side of the big bushes, nobody could see him. And Tadus goes over to the other side over there by the door. He opens up the door. And he says to the boy, "Hey boy, come here. Come here, little boy." And the little boy sees Tadus, the galach of the church. "Oh, okay, Tadus, I'll come. Come inside. Come into the basement of the church for a minute. I've got a surprise for you." And the little boy goes in. And Tadus is thinking to himself, "Not only I'm going to get back my servant, but I'm going to get back the Maharal too. Two birds with one stone, like they say. My trick is going to work against my servant, and against the Jewish rabbi, and against all the Jews. Oh, what a smart trick I'm playing, Tadus." No wonder they called me to Krakow to the meeting of the Bez Galachim. I'm so smart. And the little boy goes into one of the inside rooms under the church. And Tadas takes out a candy from his pocket. Here, little boy, here's a candy. You want it? Yeah, I like a candy. Tadas says, here, take the candy. And the little boy eats the candy. Tadas says, you want something else? Hey, yeah, okay. And Tadas reaches into his other pocket. Now, this is a little bit not nice, Kinaluch, but I'm telling you because it happened. He takes out from his pocket a big knife. And the little boy gets scared. Why you have a knife, Tadas? I don't want a knife. And before the little boy can even say another word, Tadas grabs the boy and he shakes the boy. Tadas, with his own hands, shakes the little boy. And he takes the blood and he starts putting it into bottles. Because over there he had prepared bottles. He took pieces of paper, he took out a pen, or he had a feather and ink, and he started writing on the pieces of paper. The first one he wrote in Hebrew letters, Maharal, and he stuck it on one of the bottles of blood, the biggest bottle.